God's been doing this word in me or speaking this word to me for about 4 weeks now. So hopefully I can get 4 weeks worth of material here in the next half hour or so and y'all can get home. I know many of you are asking or want to know about Pastor. Pastor actually split a tooth earlier this week, Monday, I believe. And so Tuesday, he went and had the other part of the tooth removed, and he can't get it completely fixed until next week. So he is at home, because anytime he gets up, moving around, that tooth starts throbbing, or that place where the tooth was starts throbbing. So keep him in your prayers. We're going to pray for him in just a minute. But that's where he is. He wishes he could be here tonight. But it's best for him to stay home and relax a little bit. And I told him, I said, he asked me this morning, he said, well, I think you got it. I said, I know I've got it. I said, God's given me a word. He's been working on it. So I'm excited about it. Let me pray for us first, and then we'll jump into what God's been teaching me. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for who you are tonight. God, I pray that you would come and speak to us tonight. I pray that you would help us to have hearing ears to hear the things you want to say to us. God, we declare your praise here tonight. We declare your presence here tonight. God, let us not miss it. God, we love you. God, we bind Satan and anything he's here to do tonight. In Jesus' name. God, come have your way here tonight. Holy Spirit, you have a freedom here tonight. Come and teach us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Exodus. I'm going to warn you ahead of time, though, we're going to be skipping through a lot of Scripture, so I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to tell a lot of the story. But we're going to look at kind of the Israelites' exodus out of Egypt and some things that God's been showing me through that. How many of your lives are just perfect, man? You couldn't be happier. There's absolutely nothing going wrong. Everything is wonderful, and life is good, right? That describes everybody in here, right? If your life is anything like mine, then you'll have a season of that, but then you'll have seasons where it just you can't seem to get things together, and you wonder, where is God, and what's his will, and why is he doing this, and why am I where I'm at? And so God's been talking to me a lot about God's will and God's promises and the things we sometimes mix up with that. And so we're going to start tonight in a promise God makes Israel in Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 16. He says this, he says, go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me last night and said, I've watched you and I've seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Havitites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. You see, God's people were in captivity in Egypt, and they were under slavery of Pharaoh. And God says, look, I see this, and I've had enough of this. I'm going to deliver you from this. He makes a promise to Moses, and he says, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you're going to deliver my people from Pharaoh's hand. And so, I don't know about you, but God's made some promises to me in my life. And I hope God's made some promises to you in your life. And there's a lot of promises in the Bible that we can claim that are general promises of God. But God also speaks to his children. And so, God has some specific promises for your life, because God has a plan for your life. And so, as we look at the promise of God and the will of God and how they're intertwined, I want us to kind of keep this in the background of our mind, that the promises of God are different than the will of God. The promise of God and the will of God are two completely different things. The promise of God is the fuel to keep us moving in the will of God. Kind of works like this. We have two dogs at home, and so with two dogs at home, that means our backyard gets full of stuff that nobody likes to play with. And so the promise of me to my children is, if you go out and the last time I kind of got fussed at, Kaylin said I wasn't being fair, but I gave him a bucket and I said, if you'll go fill the bucket with the stuff that you don't want to step in, then I'll give you money. Okay, I'll pay you to do that. So the promise was the money. Okay, the will, the process was having to go pick up the stuff. Okay, when they're in the middle of picking up stuff that is unpleasant, they're looking forward to what? The promise, the money, right? And so God gives us promises to fuel us in the will of God, or fuel us while we're walking towards those things. And, you know, with every promise of God, there's a will of God that accompanies that. And so to help us understand kind of where we get frustrated, I know we usually don't do this, but I told Duke, I said, hey, we're going to leave the whiteboard up here. This is kind of how it works out. We'll have the will of God over here, and then we'll have the promise that God makes us over here. Okay? And just like in the passage we just read, God makes a promise to his people, but there's a will that accompanies that. Now, all of us learned in math that the shortest distance between two points is what? A straight line. So this is how we want God to work, right? God's given us a promise, so we expect that God's going to deliver, that God's going to deliver that promise, and he's going to do it tomorrow, or right now, or yesterday, right? But we know God doesn't always work like this, so then we kind of expect maybe instead of this, maybe it'll go like this. We'll have some good times, we'll be moving along, and then we may have some difficulties because life is difficult sometimes, but overall we're going to move in this direction, right? And we kind of expect that's how the will of God is going to play out in our lives. But the problem is, maybe it's just my life, maybe this is unique for me, but the way the will of God typically plays out looks more like this to me than any of the other two pictures, right? Sometimes he gets off the page completely, he'll go behind the board and he'll come back. I mean, he's all over the place, and eventually he says, no, not yet, and he'll come back over here. And we get frustrated when we get in this, don't we? We get frustrated when we know God's given us a promise, but the will of God doesn't seem to line up with that. And I think that when we begin to work out the spaghetti of God's will, we'll see some things. And there's four things specifically that God's kind of been speaking to me about God's will and God's promises. And so that's what I want to share with you tonight. God makes this promise. He says, look, I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt's hand. But then the next chapter, or a couple chapters over, we see Pharaoh. And Moses goes and meets with Pharaoh. And what does Pharaoh do? He say, okay, sure, pack it up and roll. No, he actually gets mad at Moses and says, look, obviously you have too much time on your hands to be daydreaming about this. So he actually makes the Israelites work harder. He says, I'm going to expect the same number of bricks from you, but I'm not going to give you the supplies you need. So now you've got to go get the supplies and build the same number of bricks. And so life gets harder for the Israelites. Now, Moses told the Israelites of the promises, and they're looking at him saying, look, life has gotten harder since you've given this promise from God. It hasn't gotten easier. It doesn't look like it. Then in Exodus 6, God reminds them of the promise. And then in Exodus 7, God begins to do the plagues. And so in Exodus 7, we see the plague of blood, where he turns the Nile to blood. And then in Exodus 8, the plague of frogs come, and the plague of gnats, and the plagues of flies. And then Pharaoh does something a little different here. In chapter 8, verse 28, Pharaoh said, I'll let you go to offer your sacrifices to the Lord your God in the wilderness, but you must not go very far. And the first thing that God kind of showed me is God's will takes me to the promised land sometimes, but there's Satan's always trying to sidetrack it. What he's doing, he's saying, listen, you can go do what you want to do, but you don't go too far and come back and work. Satan tries to offer the promises of God without God. He tries to sidetrack it. He tries to manipulate it so that we can maybe get that direction, but we can maybe receive what looks like the promise of God, but it doesn't include God. That's what Pharaoh was doing. He was giving him an illusion of freedom, but he was saying, don't go too far, come back to me. And I think a lot of times that happens with us. And so what do we do when the promise of God's given, but Satan begins to offer some shortcuts? What do we want to do? Well, we want to take that short distance, don't we? We want to take that straight line. And so our temptation is to begin to manipulate the situation and life around us to match the promise of God. We begin to take matters into our own hands. You remember this in the story of Abraham. God told Abraham that he was going to give him a son. But Abraham and his wife were really old, and so what did they do? They said, well, God given me this promise, but I don't know how he's going to do it, so I'm going to take matters in my own hand. And Sarah says, look, you can sleep with my maid, and they end up having an Ishmael. And it completely is outside of the promise of God. Satan offered a shortcut that didn't include God. And it causes all kinds of problems. It's the walking out the will of God that prepares us for the promise of God. You see, God's doing something to us in the process of walking out that will. And when we begin to try to manipulate the situation around us to match the promise that God's given us, we short-circuit what God wants to do in our life. You see the same thing in Joseph's life. If you remember, Joseph had a dream, two dreams, where his brothers were going to come and bow to him. But he doesn't get to take the straight road straight to that position of authority. What happens? He gets sold as a slave, and then he goes to Potiphar's house and is lied about, and then he gets thrown into prison, and then he spends time in prison, and finally out of prison he gets to the palace and receives the promise of God. Why? Because God was doing something in Joseph's life through that process. If we begin to take the circumstances around us, the situations around us, and try to force them to look like the promise God has given us, but God's not in it, then we're really the ones that miss out. God's will is the path that prepares you to receive the promise of God. God's will is the path that prepares you to receive the promise of God in your life. So what happens to the Israelites? Well, God still doesn't deliver them. In Exodus 9, we see the plagues of the livestock. Then they have the boils and hail. And then in Exodus 10, you see the plague of locusts. And here again, Pharaoh comes and tries to short-circuit the will of God. He said, have only the men go and worship the Lord, since that's what you've been asking for. In other words, split the family up. Look, leave the women and children here, and you can go and do what you want to do. Well, that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was to deliver all of Israel. And then in Exodus, just a few verses later, he says, fine, look, go worship the Lord your God, even with your women and children, but leave your livestock and your herds here. Again, Pharaoh was offering him an opportunity to walk into the what appeared to be the promise of God without God. Because that's not what God said. God said, I'm going to deliver you and I'm going to give you the spoils of Egypt. I'm going to deliver you in a powerful way. Exodus 11, the plagues on the firstborn. And then in Exodus 12, we finally see God deliver Egypt. But God doesn't deliver Egypt to the promised land. What happens? He gets back in that spaghetti somewhere. And he says, no, instead of delivering them to the promised land, we're going to deliver them to the wilderness. And in Exodus 13, we see the beginning of the story at the Red Sea. In Exodus 14, listen to what it says. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, starting in verse 1, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They encamp by the sea directly opposite of Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I'll harden Pharaoh's heart, and he'll pursue them. But I'll gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. The second thing that God has been teaching me about his will, that sometimes God's will is a testimony to others. Sometimes God allows us to go through things, not necessarily for us, but for the benefits of others, so that others can look and see God's work in our lives, so that others can look at our lives and see how God is moving in our hearts and moving in our lives. I have one of my best friends here, or used to be here. We were on staff together, and we were just going through some not fun stuff. I mean, it was just a miserable season of ministry. And looking back at it, I joke with him and I say, man, I'm sorry it took me so long to get what I needed to get so that God would release you from this miserable season. Because to this day, I still believe that God allowed him to go through the misery with me so that God could get my attention and teach me some things that I probably would not have learned any other way. But because of this friend of mine going through this season of ministry with me, it wasn't his fault. And God wasn't necessarily doing something in his life, he may have, but God was using him to do something in my life. So sometimes God's will is for the benefit of others. God's will in our life is for the testimony of others. Sometimes it looks like we're going away from his promises because he's doing something in people around us to teach us or to teach them more about his will. Romans 8:28 is a promise we've all heard. It says, and we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes. God says, look, Sometimes it looks like you're walking away from my promises. Sometimes it looks like you're going the other direction. Sometimes it looks like I've lost control or you don't understand. But if you'll trust me, I'm going to work it all out to the benefit of both you and for me. I'm going to get glory from this, and I'm going to take care of you. God's will is to receive the glory when you receive God's promises in your life. God's will is to receive glory from your promises or from your problems. God's will is to receive glory when you walk into your promise. So what happens next? Israel's delivered from Egypt, but not to the promised land. In Exodus 15, we see the song of Moses and Miriam. They thank God for delivering them through the Red Sea. And then, like the Israelites were tended to do, every time God would deliver them through something, they would have a great celebration. And what happens? We kind of forget about what God does for us, don't we? And we begin to complain and we begin to grumble. Well, that's where we find the Israelites again in Exodus 16. They're saying, look, we're starving out here. We're in the desert. It's a barren land. Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? Why didn't you leave us in captivity? We had plenty to eat there. And once again, God's will says, okay, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to send you bread or manna and quail from heaven. Now, at this point, you'd think that the Israelites have seen God's miraculous hand move time and time again. You'd think at this point they'd finally begin to get it, right? They'd begin to obey. But that's not what happens. In Exodus 16, starting in verse 19, says, then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it, speaking about the manna, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. And the third thing that God's taught me about His will, or is teaching me about His will, is that God's will tests me sometimes. Sometimes, even though God's given me a promise, God's will, walking out the process of it, God's will tests me. And there's things that God wants to do in that test. James 1 says, consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind. Because know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be made mature and complete, not lacking anything. How many of you have ever been in the middle of the walking out of God's will, or been in the middle of life and just felt like God stopped speaking to you? I know I've been there before. I know that there's times when you're just begging God for an answer. God, I don't understand this situation. God, I don't understand why you have me here. God, I don't understand what you're doing. Just tell me. Speak to me so I can know. Right? We've been there. God, how come? We have all these questions and we just feel like God clams up and doesn't speak to us. I was talking to God about that one time, and it was kind of funny, the illustration God gave me. How many of you remember taking tests in school? How many of you ever had the teachers give you the answers to the test during the test? Man, y'all had some good teachers. My teachers wouldn't give me no answers during the test. It's a funny thing, when you're in the middle of a test, you're being tested on the material that you've been taught. You're being tested on the things that you should know. And so sometimes God puts us in the middle of those situations to see how we're going to respond, to see if we're going to obey His word. Sometimes when we get in the middle of those situations and we don't know what to do, it's because God's already told us what to do. He's just going to see if we listen. I was praying about something about a year ago, about something that I thought, you know, this may be God's will for my life. So God, I'm praying through it, and it had been about 3 weeks that I had just been praying about this thing, and to me it made perfect sense. It made logical sense, but God wouldn't answer me. And it was funny because I was at a camp. I remember at a camp with Pastor and Ray, and I was praying about it. They were I don't even remember what they were doing, but I was praying about it, and God said, I've already told you the answer. I didn't like the answer. I wanted a different answer, so I kept acting like it, but He'd already spoken to me. Here's the cool thing about God's test. It's an open book test. He gives us His word. And if we'll open God's word and apply God's word and do the things He's told us to do, then we'll keep moving towards that promise. A lot of times we find that God's testing us. One of the most surprising things about about suffering or walking through the will of God is that we as Christians, we don't even think we should suffer like Jesus did. There's seasons, there's times when God is going to allow us to go through testing to mature our faith, to grow us. Why? Because when I walk through a season of time and I see God remain faithful, it grows my faith. It does something in me. And that's what God is after. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." You know, as I was thinking about this, how many of you go through life and something good happens and it's just, man, isn't God good? Thank you, Jesus. You hear it all the time. You'd be doing something. Thank you, Jesus. What happens when God doesn't respond the way you want him to? Do you still say thank you, Jesus? Do you still praise him because he's in control and he's God? Or do you get frustrated with him? Sometimes God lets us go through those tests to reveal what's in our heart. God's trying to purify our heart. God's will is to purify our heart and our faith so that when we receive God's promise in life, we're ready for it. That's the purpose of it. Remember, God's will is all about preparing us for God's promise. So sometimes he allows us to go through tests so that it'll purify our faith. Well, God finally delivers his people. If you flip over into Joshua, you can read the story of how Joshua leads the Israelites into their promised land. Joshua 21, verse 43 through 45 says this. It says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of the land and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel ever failed. Every one was fulfilled." And the last thing that God's been showing me about God's will is that God's will teaches me. God's will teaches me. Psalms 37:3 says, "Trust in the Lord to do and do good." In other words, trust God and obey God. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you'll live safely in the land and prosper. And I think too often what happens is we see God's will begin to work for us in our life, and we begin to get a little prideful again like the Israelites. And we begin to think, well, you know what? I can accomplish on my own strength. I begin to trust in my own strength, or I begin to trust in my own understanding, or I begin to trust in my own abilities instead of relying on God. But God's trying to teach us through his will. He's trying to teach us things. He's trying to purify our hearts. He's doing something in us. I know one of the hardest things for me to do even today, and God is still teaching me and working with me, is learning to wait. It's hard for me to wait on God. It's really hard for me to wait on God when God's given me a promise and I think I can figure out how to get to it. And I was thinking about that and praying through that. God said this. He said, impatience with me reveals pride in your heart. When I become impatient with God, it reveals pride that's in my heart because I begin to think, I can do this, God. Why aren't you doing it? I'll just do it. And it's the very thing God is trying to work out of us. I read this quote not too long ago by Andrew Murray, and I shared it with our overflow group. It's about humility. It says, "Humility is the only soil in which all the virtues of grace can grow. The lack of humility, or pride, is a sufficient explanation for every defect and failure of mankind." Humility is not so much a grace or a virtue. This is what I love. It's the root of all virtues because it allows God to be God in your life. Too often we have a promise that God's given us and we can figure out how to get to it, so we become impatient with God and we just want to rush the system. And what God's telling us is, listen, there's something in you I'm still trying to work out of you. There's still some pride in you that I'm still trying to work out of you. I had another good friend of mine that's a pastor, and he works at a really large church. They have multiple campuses, and this pastor had been there for a long time. He had seen a lot of success in ministry, had seen his numbers grow, and they were starting a new campus. And so the pastor, he wanted to be the campus pastor at this new campus. And the elders and the senior pastor of the church, they had their eye on this person, and they they believed he was going to be the next campus pastor. Well, what happened was he, as it grew closer and closer, they hadn't talked to him about it yet, and he began to become impatient. And he finally said something. He said, why haven't you told me, or why haven't you chosen me to be the campus pastor? Now, all along, his name was in the hat. It was going to be him. But when he asked the question, it revealed something that was still in his heart. It revealed just a little bit of that pride still in his heart, a little bit of that entitlement, a little bit of that, well, I deserve it, because after all, my ministry's grown. I've been here for a long time. I'm vested. I should be the person. And because of that one statement, they decided to postpone that and gave the campus to another pastor. And I wonder how many times we've short-circuited or prolonged the future that God wants to unfold for us because of our pride. Because we see what God's called us to, we see the promise that God's put out there in front of us, and we begin to work and do and manipulate and use our own strengths and our own abilities to move towards that promise rather than allowing God to work in us and do in us and fix the things that are still wrong in us, so that when we walk into that promise, we're able to stand under that promise. This is a lesson that I've been learning, and it's been a hard lesson to get. Humility is knowing who you are and who you aren't. It's knowing who you are and who you aren't. 2 Corinthians 12 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" My power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, God can move best when we understand who we are and we understand who he is, and we allow him to move through us. When I get out of the way, God begins to move best. 1 Thessalonians said, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Big church word, make it simple. Romans 8 says it in a simple way. He says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined, he predetermined to be conformed to the image of his Son. You see, God's will is to make us more like Jesus. All this spaghetti up here, the purpose of all these things is to make us like Jesus so that we can step into the promise and be prepared for the things he wants to do in our lives. If we'll walk through the will of God that looks very different from the promise of God, then God will prepare our hearts, he'll prepare our character, he'll prepare our person for what he's trying to do in our lives. As Nathaniel comes, I want to read one more verse to you that just that kind of punctuated this for me last week. It was funny. I came across this verse, and I don't know why, but I've never read it before. I'd never seen it before. And I called Ray, and I called a pastor friend of mine in Florida. I said, man, God just answered a prayer. He just made it click for me. Because, as I pray for things, I was at a place where I was like, God, I don't hear you. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I need some direction, and I'm not hearing the direction. I'm not hearing your will. So, God, talk to me. Why aren't you talking to me? I was in one of those places where he wasn't helping. It was in the middle of a test. And so I opened Hebrews chapter 10, and I came across this verse. It says, you need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised. You need to persevere. You need to work through. You need to keep on keeping on. You need to persevere through the will of God, through all the mess, through the times when it looks like we're going the wrong direction, through the times when it looks like God's taking his eyes off us. If we'll persevere through the will of God, then we'll be rewarded with the promise of God. And so I wondered here tonight, how many of us just need encouragement tonight? How many of us are facing things that we don't see God in? We just don't know where he's at. Whether it's a health issue or a relationship or direction in life or marriage or whatever it is, we're just not sure where God is in the middle of all of it. God's got a word for you tonight. He's saying, if you'll persevere through my will, if you'll keep walking and trusting me, if you'll keep allowing me to do in you what I'm trying to do, then I'm going to deliver my promises to you. If you'll persevere, you've done the will of God, you'll receive what he's promised. Here's what I want to do. I want to close tonight just by asking you to spend a minute in prayer. And just take a minute and ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want to tell me tonight? What are you trying to speak to me tonight? Where are you at with your walk? Maybe you don't have a promise from God. Maybe you need a promise to hold on to. Ask God for that. God, What do you want for my life? Where do you want to take me? Sometimes he doesn't tell us because we don't ask. Sometimes he doesn't tell us because we've already determined what we want to do. Ask God what he wants to do with your life. What are his plans for your life? What's a promise for you? Maybe you're beginning to wonder, you know, where are you, God? Have you heard me? Israel did it time and time again. They get to a place, God, I know you just delivered me through the Red Sea. I know you just delivered me out of Egypt, but I've forgotten about that already. Maybe that's the question you need to ask God. Some of you are actually living out your promise. Some of you are right in the middle of God's will and God's blessing you and you just love life. Just spend a minute thanking God for that. But for those of us who don't know where God is in our life, we're just confused or frustrated. I want to pray for you tonight. And so if that's you, with eyes closed and heads bowed, just raise your hand. And I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Hands are up all over the place. Persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what he's promised. Dear Heavenly Father, you see these hands. God, you know each and every circumstance. God, you know right where each and every person is in the middle of life. God, I pray that you give them strength to continue to walk. God, that you give them a renewed sense of passion for you. God, that you speak peace into their lives and into their heart. God, that you'd speak comfort into their life. God, that you'd encourage them to know that if they'll continue to walk in your will, that your promises aren't far off. God, you promised in Joshua that every single promise you've made, you deliver. So God, we thank you that we can trust you. God, we thank you. Thank you that you're a God of promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.